So again, welcome. Welcome to Evangel. I'm going to talk about storms today. When I took this break, and I'll talk quite a bit about it through the morning. As I took this break, the first book I picked up was a book called Facing Leviathan. Leviathan in the Bible is a sea monster that's in the midst of a storm. And so this whole book is by a guy named Mark Sayers from Australia. He's about 32, 33 years old. And this is what I read in the book. Over 6 weeks of my fast, I began to change. The pounds dropped off me, but something was changing inside of me. I was in a storm, and it was painful. However, I came to realize that in a storm, God shreds you of those parts of you that battle him. Those who avoid God's holy storms fail to feel their pain, but they also fail to grow. They fail to meet the God in the storm, the one who asks his leaders to die to everything. By the end of the 6 weeks, I was exhausted, yet at peace. And in the book, he talks about his struggle, his personal struggle, a physical, emotional struggle, and going into this storm. And so I went to Psalm 107 because there's a really good picture of how we fit into that whole process. Psalm 107 is a psalm that's a call to praise that's addressed to people like you and I. It's a call for us to praise. The psalmist is inspiring people to praise God by reminding them how God delivered them. There's no doubt that God's love is real, and it's demonstrated in this psalm. So let's just take a look at the psalm real quickly, and I'll just read through it. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Yeah, so this is written to you. He's redeemed you. Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from the east to the west, north and the south. And then he breaks it down in the next verse. In verse 4, he says, he talked about some who wandered in the wilderness that were lost and homeless. And then some who wandered in darkness, in the deepest gloom, imprisoned by chains of misery. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. I can relate to all these three groups of people, honestly. And then it talks, then it moves into verse 23 about a fourth group. Some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried. They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waters. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. And I'm going to use this scripture to create an atmosphere or give a context for everything I've gone through in the last 3 years. I mean, it's all right there in verses 23 through 31. That's really been a lot of my journey. And so taking this break, I just tried to, my big question to the Lord is why? What are you doing? What are you doing in my heart? What are you doing in the people that I love? What are you doing in Evangel? What are you doing in our region? And those were a lot of the questions I asked. But as many of you have heard before, before this congregation started, there was a word that was given to us by one of my pastors about Psalm 145. He said, this is a gift to you as Evangel. It was before we even started the church. And that scripture says, this is what he gave to me. He said, all your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom and give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign or your kingdom. And so this is a lot of who Evangel is. He's spoken this to us. He said, I'm going to do some things in you, and I want you to talk about what I've done. I want you to begin to proclaim the things that I've done. And so it should come as no surprise to me anyway that he would take me into a storm, into it and out of it, and talk about the process and how that worked. And it isn't. I mean, I could see as I was going into that storm that it was going to be rough. So I want to take, just work through this verse by verse. Some went off to the sea in ships and observed the Lord's power in action. Me going off to sea started about, in March of 2013, so it would have been about almost a year and a half now. And what was going on was I had been living my life. Jody and I had raised our kids. They were all gone, and we were on with life. And my parents lived in Klatskanai. And they were getting kind of up in age, and they had been taking care of my grandmother, who was in Oregon City, and going down there every week and sometimes two times a week, driving down there just to make sure she was okay and spend time with her and care for her needs. And so they were taking care of my grandmother, and then they got to the place where things just got really hard for them. They were under a lot of financial pressure. They were under a lot of physical pressure. My mom and dad had some things happen to them physically that really took a lot out of them. And they started to decline. Their health started to decline. And I could see it, but my mom and dad are kind of like those people of their generation that don't like you to think that there's anything wrong or they don't need any help with anything. So they covered up a lot of stuff, but as I turn and face the reality of where they were at that moment and their need, I had this sense, I'm heading into something that I have no control over. I'm just going to have to try to help the best I can and hope that, you know, watching other people like Wayne and Jeannie walk through some of the things with their parents and other people that I know, I hope that I've learned something and am able. But I felt like this. I was ready to head on this journey without any real sense of direction necessarily, but just trying to help. So in March of 2013, I started that, entered into their lives, and almost immediately it became apparent that my dad couldn't drive anymore. When I said, Dad, turn left, and he turned right. And when I said, I'll meet you at the gas station a block away, and he went the other direction and ended up in Rainier, I knew it was time. He couldn't do this anymore. This couldn't happen anymore. So that was one of the most difficult conversations I've ever had with my dad, was heading back over to Klatskanai with him in the car and said, Dad, you can't do this anymore. Somebody's going to get hurt. Either you're going to get hurt or somebody else is going to get hurt, and you're going to feel terrible, and so you can't drive anymore, which meant nobody was going to Oregon City unless somebody took them, doing things. I mean, when you make that decision for somebody, you're not just saying you ought to do this because it's a good idea. You're entering into something with them and saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to walk with you through that. So that was in March of 2013, and obviously it was difficult. In May of 2013, my grandmother, who was getting supported by them, needed more support because she was declining. And so everything started just like crumbling in all three of their lives. And the answer was to get them here to Longview where we could take care of them better. And so we sold my grandmother's house. I've never sold a house before. We lived in our house for 33 years. And I have no intention of selling it or moving or anything like that. I like stability. It's a good feeling to be in the same place. So, but we had to sell their house. I didn't know what I was with. That went marvelously. And then we had a garage sale, sold all her stuff, had another garage sale in class tonight, sold all my mom's stuff, and moved all three of them into an apartment about a block from the hospital. And they lived next door to each other. And so it was perfect because they could take care of each other. They could be with each other. I could help take care of them. My brothers could help take care of them. And so that was in May of 2013. Well, in November of 2014, about, 14, 15 months later, my grandmother passed away. And then a year later, my dad passed away. And then 6 months later, my mom passed away. So I'm on this journey, this three-year journey, and entered into it, and it was like chaos and crazy. And then all of a sudden, things start getting whittled down. And we went through some amazing times together. I'm so grateful because I got to spend time with my mom and dad at a level I never would have been able to spend time with them. But it was costly. And during that whole time, I mean, I'm caring for my mom and dad, caring for my grandmother, and caring for the church. And not caring so much for my family because they're gone, but still, there's part of that too. We were making frequent trips down to California to keep pace with our grandkids that were being born. And so it was crazy. It was a crazy 3 years. The next verse says, he spoke and the winds rose, started stirring up the waves. Well, for me, and let me just say, he's into us 100%. He's not just there when we need him or there when we need correction or there when we need direction. He's there with us all the time. It reminded me of a section of scripture in Luke 8 where Jesus says to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and started out and they sailed across and Jesus settled down for a nap, which is a great thing. I mean, this is awesome. Here's the storm rising if Jesus takes a nap. But soon, a fierce storm came down the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. It's just so dramatic. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped and was cloud, and they were all going, what is this? He says, where is your faith? Well, our faith is taking a nap right now. You're our fearless leader and you're taking a nap. And I could so relate to this. I could so relate to how, I mean, he was in control when he was taking a nap. He wasn't checked out. He wasn't actually sleeping. He was probably sitting there with one eye open going, oh, I love what's going on now. Look at the waves and the wind are whipping up and they're all freaking out and they don't know what they're going to do. And I'm not going to wake up till they make me get up. I'm just going to lay here. I love what I'm hearing. Everybody's just, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And here I'm taking a nap and I know exactly what I'm going to do. Be still. And the waves calmed. And the hero was back awake again. So when my mom and dad, my grandmother and my dad, my mom started passing away, it was like that. It was like, what am I going to do? I don't know. I mean, not only that, but Jody's dad passed away at the same time. So we had lost my grandmother, Jody's dad, my dad, and my mom. And that all ended in June. And the next verse says, they reeled and staggered like drunkens that were at their wits' end. I know exactly how this feels because I walked into an elders meeting about 3 days before my mom passed away, reeling and staggering and feeling like I was out of control and didn't know what I was going to do because, you know, here my final connection with my parents' generation has passed away or is at hospice at that time. So that was on a Wednesday. She passed away on a Saturday. So in the midst of the storm, it's easy to get confused and lose your bearings. It really is. Our confidence is in our ability for God to keep us safe in the storm, or maybe even more honestly, our confidence comes in our ability to keep ourselves safe in the storm. We really want to take care of ourselves. We want to do it ourselves. We don't really want to lean on God, honestly. We just want to be able to do the right thing, do the wise thing, and get through this thing in one piece. But what we really need is hope. And I've shared this before, that this is the definition of hope. Hope is the active, confident expectation of good. And most people will leave it there. Hope isn't a wishful thinking. Hope isn't things are going to get better. I just know they're going to get better. I just know. Or you can even throw in I trust in God there too. Hope really, though, is this confident, active. Active means it changes all the time. It morphs. It gets stronger and weaker and stronger and weaker. Hope is the confident expectation of good, but it's based upon the character of God. Our hope is based upon who he is, what he's like. Our hope isn't based upon our ability to connect with him. Our hope is based upon him and who he is and what he's like. And it really can be like an anchor for us. This is Hebrews 6. God has given both his promise and his oath. He's given himself. He's given who he is to us. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Again, it goes back to his character. Has he promised you something? Is there a promise that's inside that you're carrying? And your hope is in that he's going to fulfill that promise? It's impossible for him to lie. If that promise was from God, it's going to happen. It may not come in the timing you think or in the way that you think, but it's coming. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy and a trustworthy anchor for our souls. And so when things are reeling and you're staggering, and hope is what we hold on to, hope is what gives us the confidence. And it's not just hope, but this is really helpful too. It's in James 1. If you need wisdom, ask. If you need wisdom, ask. Kelly, my daughter, who's going to school in Iowa, sent me a picture of, she just moved into her own apartment for the first time ever. And it's like a closet. It's a studio apartment. There's enough room for her stuff and no room for anybody else. You can't have anybody over to the house. There's no, I mean, it's just a tiny closet. But she sent a picture in her, she has a fireplace. I don't know why you would want a fireplace. It's an old apartment. And she has a fireplace, and above the mantle, she's got a whiteboard, and this is what it says. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. And so that's her guiding light during school, is if you need wisdom, ask. If you need wisdom, and it really is where we live our lives, too. I mean, this is where we live. But when you ask him, you know, when the butt is scary, because you know you're in trouble right now. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So what does divided loyalty mean? Well, it means you're hoping in not just in God, but you're hoping in yourself, you're hoping in your spouse, you're hoping in your job, you're hoping in the economy and how it's going, you're hoping in your ability to figure things out, you're hoping in your past experience that's helping you make decisions now. That's divided loyalty. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in him. And not just in him, you know, liking us, preferring us, choosing us, but in his promise that he's made to us based upon his character. Our hope is in the character of God. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. These people are driven and tossed by the waves of the sea. It's just this picture we're talking about where all this is happening to us. All these things are happening. Their ships were tossed into the heavens and plunged into the depths, and the sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards at their wits' end. I mean, that's really what it felt like when I walked into that elders' meeting that day. I felt like I'd been through it. 3 years of trying to help, and then, you know, feeling the satisfaction of being able to lend a hand and be helpful to my parents, but in the end, lost, you know, my grandmother, my Jody's dad, my mom in a short period of time. And I was kind of like reeling. I remember walking into that elders meeting thinking, I can't possibly be doing well right now. As much as I think I'm in control, I mean, I've been at hospice for 3 days with mom. It'd been horrendous getting her there, and now she was there, and she was getting settled, but she was deteriorating, and within the next 3 days, she'd pass away, and I'm like, oh, I need to be wise right now. I need to lean on my friends. I walked into the elders meeting, and I said, I don't know how I'm doing. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know if I'm doing well or not. People keep telling me I'm doing a good job, but that's just because I'm doing my job. You know, I'm taking care of people. But I don't know how I'm doing. And they'd been after me for quite some time to take a break. Because it's been 25 years of doing this without a break, really, just a couple vacations, but no real break. Not that everybody who works for a long period of time needs a break, but I didn't need a... I mean, I really take good care of myself. I mean, not in some ways, you know. I still eat too much. I'm trying to do better at that, but I really rest. I'm at peace most of the time. I'm resting most of the time. I don't overdo my schedule. I hardly ever get phone calls at home. I don't know what is up with you guys, but nobody calls me at home. I mean, people really care about me, and I feel like I'm really well taken care of. And so I didn't need a break from activity. I had this sense that I was kind of like in the midst of a storm, and I wasn't really sure how well I was doing, and I needed some perspective, and I needed to get a separation from this whole caregiving thing, where I'm trying to figure out how to, I would literally drive from out of town. I get out of town about once a week just to get away from things a little bit. And as I would come over the hill by Columbia Ford into town, my first thought was, what should I do to help my parents so I can deal with whatever they need dealt with before I go home? I mean, it's like always on my mind. And so I went in there, and in the midst of the storm, wondering what it is that I needed, hoping that I would have support from these guys, and they were an amazing support. They were like, so tomorrow you're going to start? Because Mom was still over at hospice then, and I said, no, I can't do it right now. I can't make those decisions right now. I need some time to think through this, but I am going to do this. And then 3 days later, she had passed away. And then the fourth funeral service that I'd done for all family members, and that's really hard to do. I don't think anybody in my family has died that I've actually been able to grieve their death, because I've always been the guy up front with the mic. And, you know, and so I kind of wonder in the back of my head, I knew that wasn't the smartest thing in the world to do, but when all of your family members say, no, you're going to do this, while they're still living, you know, it's just like, you can't ignore that. And so I depended on God. I depended on you guys to encourage me and hold me up and help me through that time. So, actually, it started about a year earlier. I just have a note that I remember when my dad's dementia started getting worse, and my mom couldn't take care of him anymore. That was probably the high point of the storm, because we couldn't do it anymore. We needed help. But the next verse says this: he brought them safely into harbor. And I felt like when I walked into the elders meeting that day, that was walking into the harbor. Like, it's safe here. These guys know me. They love me. They know what I've gone through, and I can trust their judgment. I can trust their love. And so, you know, I tried to be as honest and open as I could about where I was. But it's hard when you don't know what's best for you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Song of Psalms chapter 8, verse 5, where it talks about us coming out of the wilderness, leaning on our beloved. That's always been a really strength. There's been strength in this picture. Because who is this coming out of the desert leaning on our lover? That's us leaning on Jesus. And all of us go through wilderness. Some of you are in a wilderness right now. You're in a really tough place right now. And this is the best place to be. I mean, our hope being an anchor is really important, but leaning on Jesus is the hardest thing to do during these times, but it's the place where we find the most rest, where we find the most peace, where we find the most joy. So I took about a month to figure out what I wanted to do during this time. I wasn't really sure whether I was doing the right thing or not. I didn't know if there was a right way to do it. I didn't really need to rest, but I needed recovery. I needed to recover my emotions. And so I devised this plan, you know, I was going to do these different things. I knew that if I just didn't have any plan, that I would just sit in my backyard and stare at the, you know, sky or whatever. Or I'd come down and have coffee with people or something, and that's not really doing it. So I tried to figure out a way for me to go here, do this, do that, spend time with my kids. Most of it was spending time with my family or spending time alone. Either one of those two things. I didn't come here at all, and which is remarkable. to invest 25 years into an environment and then walk away from it for 5 weeks was really weird. Because it's my identity is mixed in here. It's how I feel good. I feel good when I can help people, walk with people, listen to people, talk to people. You know, that I feel this is worship environment, no matter who's leading worship or how it looks or sounds, this is where I meet with God in a different way than anywhere else. This is where Tri-Hop is. And so there's hours of investment in prayer here. And so to not come into this building for 5 weeks was like weird. I'm like, who am I and what do I do? And so I had scheduled 4 weeks of stuff and did some pretty cool stuff. And then the last week was spent, I just left it open because I figured I'd need some time to kind of try to figure out what was going on and how it was working for me. But in the midst of that, on July 23rd, I got a text message that was about this long from Jenna. And she just said, the Lord spoke to me this morning, some things for you, and I just need to share with you. So this is like a paragraph of the whole thing. It was huge. But she said, the Lord is saying, I will restore your mind and your heart as you come before me. Crooked things will be made straight within you. For everything I do for you, I do inside your heart, healing your spirit and soothing your soul. Come and find my heart, and I will restore your heart. That became my guiding, like, the thing that I leaned on and I trusted in, the thing that I found hope in and strength in, this whole idea of coming and finding Jesus. That was on July 23rd, and so probably 2.5 weeks after that. And I really tried to refocus things and focus on finding Jesus in the midst of everything that was going on and letting him restore me. Not restoring myself, but letting him restore me. So I headed off on this thing, and I just want to touch on a couple of things that really impacted me about this time wave. One of them was recovery. I really didn't need rest as much as I needed recovery. And most of that I got through my family because they knew me, they loved me. Not that anybody else doesn't, but they could speak into my life. I mean, and there were gentle things like, I mean, we were at Sun River, and my daughter, Kelly, the youngest one, I've been doing this for a long time, like 30-some years, going to Sun River on vacation in the summer. And so I would get on my bike and head down to the coffee shop, and I'd say, I'm going to go study. And what that meant was that I'd read my Bible or read a book or something like that and just think about what God was doing. Well, Kelly, we get to Sun River this year, and she gets up, and she's getting off, and I go, where are you going? She's going, I'm going to go study at the coffee shop. I'm like, that's weird. My daughter's doing what I mean, it's like, how cool is that? I mean, there's nothing that pleases a parent's heart more than to have their child do something that is delightful to your heart without being asked. And so to have my daughter say, I'm going to go down and study. And so I was intrigued. I like, well, what does that mean? So I came down there about half an hour, met her down, had coffee with her. And I said, so she, after she was finished reading and doing her devotional, she goes, you want to study? I'm like, okay, what's that? I tried to pretend like I knew what she was talking about. But so her idea of studying is something I have tried to encourage the church to do for probably 15 years. She said, well, I just take a couple verses of scripture and read them, and then we just talk about it. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I'm sitting with my daughter in Sun River studying with her together, and all it is taking a couple verses of scripture and talking about them. And so she goes into these couple verses and tells me what she thinks, and she's excited about it and excited to hear what I'm thinking. In fact, she called me last night, and she said, so what are you going to teach on Sunday? And she just, it's so delightful. That's recovery. That's what recovery looks like. It's that breath of fresh air, that breath of hope, that love that comes from somebody, the peace that comes, the joy that comes. And so I needed it most with my family, and that's what I spent a lot of the first 4 weeks doing, was babysitting my grandkids, although one of them was like, oh my gosh. Went down to California, and my granddaughter Addie, who is 2.5 years old, I get there on the second day of potty training. Oh my gosh. Scott and Alex, if you're listening to this, I love you. But the timing was crazy because everybody's freaking out about making a mess or not getting her to the toilet in time. And I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome. But, and then I had times with Kaysen and my grandson, and also spent some time with Harrison down in California. And it was just cool getting to connect with them and where they're at, where my kids are at. That was really fun. What I also had was I had space. I'd spent the last 3 years in really intensely caring for people. And, you know, I've talked about that. My family, the church, other pastors in the community, my grandmother, Jody's dad and mom. And so I've always had a certain grace to do that. And you have to have grace to care for people. You just can't do it in your strength. Nobody's that strong. Nobody's that smart. Nobody's that diligent. You just need grace. And so I realized that that I needed space because something had to fill this void. I now had 4 close family members gone, and there's a void there. Well, what fills that void? What comes in and fills that space? And a lot of it's just my love, the love that my family has for me, the love that I have for them. And so I was really appreciative that I had time to look at that space, that void that was there, and say, because you can put anything you want in. I could start a new hobby. We could start another church. We could start another program. I could start another exercise deal. You know, you can put whatever you want in that space where these people used to fill, but what are you going to put there? And I just decided that I was going to let God decide that. He was going to put whatever he wanted in there, but I was going to leave the space for it. And then there was you. The body of Evangel has been so gracious to me to give me this time off, this time of this break. And you took it really seriously, too. I mean, you really honored me in so many ways. I know because there were a couple times when I went to coffee shops and somebody from the body would come and they go, I know I'm not supposed to talk to you. You just need your time. And I'm like, what? I'm like a leper now. You know, just like, come on, this is normal. This is me, but you were so honoring, and people who I know were going through really difficult times in their own life didn't call, didn't ask for help, and I know that was really hard for you, not that you need me or anything, but we have a relationship where I walk with you, and here I am not walking with you, and I know that left a void there, and yet I felt really loved and honored as a servant, as a leader. And I also wondered what impact it would have on the body. I mean, would anybody step up and do these things? Would people love each other? You know, would they fill in that void that I left, you know? And so that was a big part of my prayers, and I prayed for you a lot while I was gone and prayed for the leaders of this body, especially the elders. Then there was a refreshing that happened too. It really was a refreshing. There was a lot that I had picked up. I read 5 books while I was gone, four and a half. I'm not finished with the Vine Project yet, but I mean, I just devoured some books, and I felt like it was directed by the Lord. I felt like it wasn't me just trying to figure out something to do, but I read a lot of books. I did a lot of things like that. I went to a conference in Spokane, and there I got to kayak for the first time. Thank you, Susan. Susan and David have a cabin that's about an hour away from Spokane, so Patrick happened to be at the conference too, and we went up there, and I got to kayak, and that was the most blissful, relaxing thing I'd done in a long time. I spent countless hours in the Word and prayed and listened, and I journaled. Oh, I hate journaling. I still don't like it. I don't know how you guys do that. I don't know how you, because it was so tedious to sit down at the end of the day and kind of recap what I'd done. And I found myself talking about the restaurants I went to and the food that I ate and the coffee places. And very rarely did I work through what was going on in my heart. It was just hard, but I tried, and I did it every day because I wanted to at least give the Lord an opportunity to speak to me that way too, and he did a couple times, and some of the things I'm sharing today came out of that. I attended 3 other church services other than here, but didn't come here once. Listened to all the messages that people did while they were here, and also about 15 other messages from other churches. So much so that when I finished on Wednesday of this past week, I felt like I just had all this stuff going on inside of me. I'd poured in and poured in and poured in and poured in, not just words from books and words from teachings and words from videos and words from I just had all this stuff going on inside of me, and it was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all this? So some of it is today. I just needed a place for it to come out, and other things too. And then being present was a big deal. I spent a lot of time with my family, and that was being present with them. Last week, I was sitting in my backyard thinking about what next or what to do with all this stuff. And I thought, well, you know, what's like me is, it's like me to try to figure out the next greatest thing for Evangel to do. You know, and like, the thing that's going to change the world, let's do this now and come up with this brainstormy idea about where to go next and what to do next. And the Lord gently said to me, that season's over. And I'm like, what? You know, I love that. I love initiating things. I love dreaming and putting dreams into action. I mean, I love that thing. And he said, that season's over. And you've actually already begun a new season. Part of it's with this time away. He said, this, in this new season, I don't want you to initiate things. I want you to support people who initiate things. I want you to give yourself to coaching, to being a friend, a father, to being an encourager to people. That's what you had your season of being the guy who started stuff. Now I want you to help other people start things. And that was so encouraging to me because I think I needed that break to get some perspective to hear that, because I don't think I would have heard it before. And you know where I've been the last couple years as far as teaching goes. We're in the midst of a transition anyway. I'm not going to be the main leader in 5 years. I'm just not going to be that person. Somebody else is. And so we've been talking about and preparing that. And don't worry, I'm not retiring or going anywhere. And nobody has offered me a job and never will. No one has ever offered me a job. And I told somebody this week that's been the grace that's been on my life, because I've had lots of outside exposure. If somebody wanted to offer me another position in another church, they could have done it, but nobody's ever done that. And I blame that all on God. Because I think, I don't know what I would have done with those options, but I haven't had that option, so I'm not doing anything but what I'm doing now, but it's changing. It is morphing. It's changing. I really want to be part of a multi-generational congregation that leads multi-generationally, that not just 2 generations, but 3 generations. That means that those kids back in there that are learning what they're learning right now are going to be the next leaders of Evangel, and I want to help that process along. I don't want to stand in the way of anything moving forward in the kingdom. I want to see the kingdom advance, and so I think that's a big part of that. And then being grateful is a big part of what's happened, especially this last week. I'm so grateful for how faithful God's been and how he's watched over me and cared for me. I mean, what grace has been available to me. It's phenomenal. The last verse, let them praise the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things he's done for them. That goes along with Psalm 145. That's really what he's called us to do, what he's called me to do. And that's what I want to do today. I want to lift his name up and what he's done. He's taken me through a really difficult emotional time. Like I said when I began, I was facing a storm and walked into the storm. And I think there's some real value in that. I don't think we're supposed to avoid the storms in life. I think we're supposed to walk into them and through them. And that's what this scripture says more than anything else. God's with us as we walk through it. He's with us in the midst of it. And he may even stir the seas up. But the waves and the wind are just being stirred up because he wants to do a work in our heart. And he knows better than anybody else how to get to us, right? And some of you are probably listening and thinking, well, you don't know how bad my life is. You don't know how difficult. You're right. I don't know that. But I know that in any circumstance, God can work amazing things in our hearts if we don't try to bypass things, but if we actually go through them and intending to come out the other side. Remember that scripture in, was it Luke 8, where he started out and said, come, let us go to the other side. The promise in the beginning was, we're going to the other side. The promise is we're going to make it to the other side. I think sometimes in the midst of a storm, we can't see the other shore, and so we're not sure. But our hope is in him and in his character. And I want to be the person who's coming out of the desert leaning on her lover, leaning on Jesus, trusting him. So this is where I just want to say thank you to you. I want to say thank you to God first. For the way he's cared for me and the way he's loved me. But I want to say thank you to you for the way you've honored me and cared for me and loved me. I mean, you've been so generous to me and so kind to me. And part of that kindness and honoring has come in the way you've let me walk through this thing with God. You let me do it with God. And I hope I've done well. I mean, you never really know. I feel like there's always things I could have done more of or less of. But I have to trust that through it all, he was with me. Thank you for wanting Jody and I to have a great marriage. I mean, I know you do. And we do have a great marriage. We could have a crazy better marriage if the two of us weren't so hard-headed. But I can't do anything about that. I can't change her. But if I could... And you know what? She would say the same thing about me, too. But thank you for wanting us to have a great marriage and giving us the space to pursue it. And you know that Jody and I had some amazing times during this because I had time to be with her and I wasn't distracted by other things. Thank you for trusting Jesus with Evangel while I was gone and not freaking out because the pastor wasn't here. I mean, the elders did an amazing job of being like Jesus for you. They were here and they did some things that without being asked and without being encouraged, they had no direction from me at all. I just set things up for Sunday and walked out the door and they took care of everything. And I just want to say thank you to you guys that led while I was gone. It was you did an amazing job. And finally, thank you for giving me the time to heal and restore and be refreshed and to be recharged this past 5 weeks. I've really needed it. I don't think I'm fixed, so I think the process goes on. And so if you see me like kind of jarred by things that are happening, it's probably just because I'm a little sensitive to what God's doing. But some things are changing radically. Some things are changing in our area. I got an email or a text message yesterday from somebody in town, a prayer person, and they said, the sale of the Monticello Hotel in Longview is complete. Officials with Cascade Title report that the sale to Monticello Place LLC, that's who bought it, and it was recorded today completing the sale process. This is the word that he gave. Here is another sign of what God is doing, about to do. New people from outside the community saw the value and potential in this city and bought into it. And I think things are changing. I think things are moving. I mean, we've prayed for the Monticello for years. We wanted to see something happen there. You know, some of you are getting inspired. We had a great meeting yesterday. That book, Facing Leviathan, I gave to some leaders and had them read it. And then we talked about it yesterday when we got together. And one of the things the Lord's been showing me is the church, it isn't about making evangel stronger. It's about evangel making you stronger. It's about us releasing you to do what God's called you to do. You're the one who God's going to give vision to. It's not about the church accomplishing miracles. It's about the church accomplishing miracles by being obedient to what God's called you to do. And so Patrick and I were talking about this morning at Bethel. They have hardly anybody on staff at Bethel. You know Jenna Spriggs that was here? She's on staff. Well, she's got a staff position. She gets paid nothing by the church. She generates her own income, and she's doing better than she's ever done. And that's kind of the way it works there. They empower people to be who God wanted them to be. So they've got businesses within the church. They've got ministries within the church. Tracy's a great example. Tracy started a personal coaching, a life coach operation here in one corner of the building. And, you know, she's going after what God's called her to do. And there are many of you in this room who God's called you to do a specific thing. And it's not about you coming to me and saying, I think the church ought to do this. Well, I think you ought to do what God's called you to do, and the church ought to equip you and support you and help you do what God's called you to do. So I think things are changing drastically for us as a community, and I'm really excited about what God's doing and where he's going, but I also want you to know how grateful I am that you've taken care of me these past 5 weeks. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you more than anything for your prayers, because I could feel it. Jody could feel it. And we really appreciate you. Amen. That's all I got.